The body is protected from fear, which comes from doubt, and that doubt comes from ignorance. So in conclusion, we can say that ignorance can be removed by surrendering to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, which in reality again means to surrender to his practical instructions. I just remembered he in Mayapur, Prabhupada, on a morning walk, returning to that building here, devotees discussing with Prabhupada the danger of war. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, when war comes, we all come here to the holy dam and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said, no, you won't. Why not? Prabhupada said, they don't give you a visa. And the first one who will be asked to leave the country is the foreigners. Then another devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, when a war comes, then we will just go to our farms. And we will make butter and ghee there and, you know, and live with our cows and survive the war. Prabhupada said, that will be difficult. Because when there is atomic war, the fallout from the atomic bomb will go everywhere. It will pollute even your farm. So devotees couldn't say anything anymore. And then the whole discussion, they are coming close and close to this Mayapur, to this building here, to the temple where there is a roaring kirtan. And then Prabhupada enters, you can hear the temple room, and he rings the bell, you know. And the whole discussion, and before he does it, he says, Sefua, our ultimate protection is kirtan, which means sankirtan. Even we discussed very often, especially in Germany, was always the concern, when is the next war coming? So Prabhupada said, war is not for devotees. And nothing can stop this book distribution. Ahaituke apratihata, material devotional service cannot be stopped by material circumstances. One way or another, you can always continue. So this is a freedom of doubt. Freedom of fear in an active way, you know. We don't have to worry about this. There will be always problems on a material platform. It's never perfect. Sometimes people think it's getting worse. No, it was always bad. You know, yeah. It's just because now we perceive it as getting worse, but there's always a problem. You know, Adibhuti, Adidevi, Adiatmik, it's all coming from three directions all the time. Trouble from other living entities, from our own body, and from supernatural powers all the time. As a matter of fact, it was a complete mistake just to come into this place right away to start with. Prabhupada gives a nice example how foolish the conditioned soul goes into the material world like into a feast. Said like somebody invites you to a feast. Big palace. It's a big table, long dining table, with many chairs around. Nobody came yet. It's all wonderfully served. There's a waiter waiting, a servant. Please, sir, sit down. He arranges the chair. So you think, oh, that's very nice. And just before you sit down, he goes, oh, excuse me, sir, I didn't know this chair is already reserved for somebody else, but you can try this chair. There are so many chairs. It's very nice. So he arranges again. You go, okay. And just before you sit down, he goes, oh, I think you would like it much more if you would sit over there. Why don't you come over here? And he again prepares the chair. You know, and just before you sit down, he goes, oh, I didn't know, this chair is a little bit broken, but that chair over there is completely okay. Why don't you come over here? And just before you sit down, he goes, oh, maybe on the other side of the table, that's a real place for special guests, you know. Why don't you sit here? Prabhupada says, by that time you think, thank you very much. And you walk out, you know, you don't even start to eat. A reasonable person will do that. But when you are in Maya, you don't do that. Maya always tries to facilitate us and make clear to us that everything would be perfect if something more is added to it. And that's something we have to work hard for it. It's always like, try it this way, and if you try a little bit harder, then you will get it. But you never will. That's the trick. So, you know, therefore Prabhupada said in the material platform, either there is a full success or there is total failure. But that full success is never really there. So it's always failure. You know. And in this way, Maya keeps the whole lifetime the living entity going on. Until the living entity dies and goes, oh, a little bit, just a little bit. Okay, no problem, next lifetime. Again. Say, for you see small babies being born so enthusiastically. You know, completely self-confident and just eating, going on, full optimism. You know, you don't have a depressed small babies. Because they don't know anything. They forgot whatever was in the past and they don't know what's happening in the future. So then they are very, you know, let's go on. Incredible self-confidence. Don't know anything. But as soon, of course, the consciousness is rising and we become aware of things, then we get a little bit depressed. And actually this movement is consisting of completely depressed people. That's how you come to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, you cannot be optimistic about Krishna consciousness when you are not depressed on a material platform. Sometimes this is now the new thing, you know, the word depression. You can hear, this devotee, he cannot do service now, he's so depressed. Now if I remember like 35 years ago, somebody would say in a brahmacharya ashram, I cannot serve now Krishna, I'm a little bit depressed, you know. They would really get him fast out of the depression, you know. And go, Prabhu! You know, you're in Maya! You know, let's go, keep on going! You know, as a matter of fact, the word depression is absurd. For a devotee, it's absurd. But depressed by what? Well, I feel bad. Well, I feel also bad, so what? You know, what does it mean? I feel bad just by seeing you, I feel bad. So, why should we pay attention to this? But nowadays, of course, it's very important. If somebody is depressed, it's very important. Yes, we are all depressed, right? It's very, very important. We have to analyze how depressed we are. How long, where it came from, how long will it last, you know? Yes, it's very deep, very deep, you know? But actually, as you remove one depression, you get depressed by another one. It's material world, you know? Prabhupada loved to quote that Indian psychiatrist who was called to a court to testify if the accused one is sane or insane. Yeah. And the psychiatrist said, my dear judge, I'm psychiatrist for many years. In my view, there is no sane people in this world. Everybody is to some degree insane. He was honest. So naturally there is plenty space of being depressed and there is plenty of opportunities to go insane. But what is the solution to this? In Krishna consciousness we do have a solution. We understand that certain things we will not change and we change things by practical action. This means some depression, more preaching. You know, and anybody doing this will immediately realize that the power of Sankirtan is so strong that it removes you, immediately moves you away from the mental and sensual platform. Immediately. That's the solution. Otherwise, we can have meetings and, meetings and discuss things. It's also there, of course. Communication is very important. But communication towards what? What is the goal? Let's keep on going, preaching. That's important. If Maya goes, she will always go. It's not so easy. Not easy. That's the first thing which happens to you when you go out of the Sankirtan van in the morning with the books. The first thing who is on the street is Maya. She's waiting there for you. And she goes, not easy. And you go, why? Everything is okay. I chanted my rounds and I feel okay and I can distribute. Well, there is something. There must be some problem there. Look, the weather is not so good. People are too many or too few. They are too fast or too slow. You know, yeah. And how do you feel anyway? You know, you feel, I feel good. Maya goes, that's temporary. Time to feel bad. You know, you go, oh yeah. When was the last time you felt bad? You remember that? Do remember that. And then she gets exactly in the right shape. Depressed, non-productive, frustrated, useless. The Maya goes, this is my disciple. Good. He got reinitiated into frustration. Very nice. Finally, he is like anybody else. Because if you see somebody optimistic, enthusiastic, and productive in a material world, then he is insane. Yes, when you are lusty, you know, passionate and crazy, you may look very happy, intoxicated, very nice, intoxicated by money, intoxicated by sex, intoxicated by drugs. That's how the society basically works. It's an intoxicated society. Without intoxication, very difficult, very difficult. Impossible, because they all know we are running for nothing. They knew that. They know that. It's just we are telling them that. That's not allowed. They get upset. You are spoiling the game. You cannot tell us reality here. We don't want this. This is the function of this movement. To wake up people to reality. And wake up ourselves to reality. Remembers me a little bit when I was a small child. I grew up in a theater environment. To some degree. So, we had all kinds of actors coming to us, visiting, you know. And then I met the same people in a theater. I was a small boy, you know, opera singers, you know, dying on a stage for 5 hours. That's opera, you know. You just sing and die for 5 hours. Ah, with a knife in a heart, you know. You know. And I saw this was not right. So one evening I decided in a peak of the drama to stand up. I was approximately 6 years old. And announced to the whole theater that I know this gentleman on the stage. He's coming to visit us. Don't worry, he's not dying. You know. And I chose such a dramatic moment. It was just a silence, you know, where he was really dying. And I just stood up and informed everybody about that. The whole theater came down. People start to stamp with their feet and going, bravo! You know, they turned the whole tragedy into comedy. You know, and the man on the stage, he knew me a little bit. So, you know, he was going, shut up, shut up! You know, but it was too late. Later on, I remembered that scene when I joined this movement because I said, this is the position of a Sankirtan devotee. They are all experiencing some kind of dramas and, you know, and this and that. And the devotee is telling them, you are not this body. This is not real. This you feel it, of course, naturally, but we are spiritual soul, eternal servant of Krishna. So we are not connected to this. And they don't like it. They like to play the drama. You know, and they think, why is he coming here, spoiling our game? You know, telling us about reality. Therefore, Sankirtan is difficult on that point. Because jiv jago, you try to wake up the conditioned soul. Now, if somebody is deeply sleeping, to wake him up is not so difficult. You just shake him by sound. Just, you know, that's ear is the only thing which is open. So you shake him, wake up, you know. And he goes, he wakes up. But try to wake up somebody who pretends to sleep. That's more difficult. You go there and say, wake up. Now he's awake. He knows you are there. But he will go, I will not wake up. He pretends he is sleeping even more. And that's generally what's happening when we are preaching. People know. They know intuitively. They know seeing devotees, oh, this is about something else. I should wake up. You know, yeah. Then you have these responses. The men become more angry. The women start more to giggle, you know. Monk! Oh! But it's all out of fear. Because they know, oh, here comes purification. You know, that's scary to get purified. What will you do when you are purified? You know, where will be you all anattas? Yeah, you good old anattas, you were serving them for millions of lifetimes. Now suddenly everything is gone. What will happen? So, this we have to get used to when we go out. People will first act very nervously, you know, yeah, most of them. So, we should be clear about ourselves. Where do we belong? In the beginning, there is a stage which is quite difficult. It's like you are leaving the material platform and you are not completely fixed on the spiritual platform. So, you are like between two chairs and you are afraid you will fall in between into the empty space, you know. You know, like, you know, but going on Sankirtan, of course, it very firmly fixes you on that spiritual chair, because you have to make really a decision every day. Where do you belong? What do you want to do? Why did you came to Krishna consciousness? It's a very important question. So what Prabhupada actually said, why did you came to Krishna consciousness? He once made even a test, you know, in a very early days. Everybody had to come in front of him. It was a small temple. And to say, why did I come to Krishna consciousness? You know? So this was very early days. The devotees didn't know really so much. So they were all just trying to go through the songbook and everything, you know, and try to find some Shastric quotes, you know. So they were coming to Brahma. I came to Krishna consciousness because Brahma is saying in Brahma Samhita, Govinda Madhi Purusham, you know. And Prabhupada was like, okay, next. And then there was one boy, he came already completely ecstatic in front of Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I came here because I really like it. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada immediately started to smile. He said, he is right, he is right. So it was very simple, you know, but ultimately it depends on the position of the heart. Do we really like it? What do we want? Yeah. Why did we came here? We should never forget this. Why did I came here? Did I came to the International Society for Economic Development? You know. Did I came to the International Society for position, you know, distribution? Yeah. Did I came to the International Society for title distribution? You know. Did I came to the International Society to find the other one, the opposite sex? You know? Yeah? What do I want? What do I expect? It's very important, because then you may not get, or you may get frustrated later on. If you expect something material, then you think, oh, it's not coming. Yeah? Yeah? But if you, of course, we know that this movement is actually supposed to give us love of Godhead. It's a very high goal. But at least, before that, it should give us our true self, make us aware of our true self. It goes simultaneously. As more and more we realize Krishna, Krishna is like the sun coming up, as more we also realize ourselves. In the darkness, we don't know anything, nothing. So, it goes simultaneously. Sometimes devotees think, no, I have to know more about Krishna before I preach. And they don't preach and they just study and fall asleep occasionally. Or they think, no, I have to preach. Then they run around completely overpowered by modes of passion. They forget to study. And then they become completely overpowered by the modes and confused. So there's these two extremes. So Prabhupada gave us exactly balance. He even gave balance. 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, reading time, the rest out preaching. Best. That's it. You know, he gave exactly comments on this. Then he said some students may be more studious, as he said, you know, more inclined to study. They may study more and do, and especially those they translate books and, you know, they need more education in this regard. But again, everything geared strictly to the preaching point. If you learn something, what do you want to do with it? How do you want to apply it? To whom do you want to apply it? You know, you have to understand who you are also talking to. You think we have to present Krishna consciousness in a very refined way to the very refined people. Well, first of all, you have to understand, are they some refined people? You know, otherwise you become so refined that you cannot talk to anybody anymore. Because, you know, you have to look who is standing in front of you. You know, so far I remember the last 35 years, I didn't find too many refined people. You know, even we address sometimes so-called, you know, educated people and this. You could always see, you know. Oh, once I visited in Germany, the chief translator. I was still looking for a guru. So I was looking, I visited the chief translator of the collected works of Sriman Aurobindo. You know, so I went to the main man who just translated all his big books into German. I couldn't understand nothing in these books. But I thought there must be something transcendental going on here. So I went into his apartment. It was an old man, German man. Big pile of papers. It was just completely messed up place. And he was so fired up. He started to tell me about Aurobindo, how great and everything. I couldn't understand one word. And then the darshan was more or less over. So then his wife came and she said, if I want some cake or some coffee. So I said, yeah, okay. Then she brought me to the dining room and him too, he also came. And then his wife said, but you shouldn't eat too much cake. The doctor said, it's not good. And you shouldn't put any sugar in a coffee, it's not good. And then he became instantly very angry. He said, but I want sugar in a coffee. And I want the cake. And she said, but the doctor said you shouldn't eat the cake. And they started a big quarrel just in front of me, you know. And I was sitting there. I was 18 years old. I was saying, this is not so transcendental here. I know this from somewhere else, you know. I don't have to go to here to listen to this. So I never came back. I rather went around the corner where there was a Hare Krishna temple and it was just a Sunday feast. And I ate, you know, 5 kilo of halwa and, you know, and this was more realistic actually, you know. That was really transcendental. So we should see practically. What does it do to us? Krishna consciousness is the most practical and pragmatical way of life. Very practical. What does it do to me? What do I get out of it? Right now. And that requires a little bit brain. Because what we perceived as pleasure in the material world, we start to understand in Krishna consciousness was actually pain. You know. And what we perceive as a pain in Krishna consciousness, transcendentally spoken, it leads us to a pleasure. Of course, spiritual life has a price. First comes tapasya, then comes knowledge and bliss. But without the tapasya, not possible. We can actually imagine bliss, you know. You can hypnotize yourself. You can think, you know, oh, I'm so blissful. But the test will come and the material nature strikes. You know, what's called actually bliss in the material world is simply agitation. Like example, you know, people are sensitive in this part sometimes of the body or here on the feet. So you tickle a little bit, they go, you go, he is blissful. He is blissful. Or people go into this discourse, you know, this dancing things, you know. And then they have, especially nowadays, they have this heavy beat, you know, this. And then people go there and they start. Yeah. And when they all do that, it becomes like, you know, it looks like they are dancing. But actually, it's actually just, you know, impulse. You know, you can also take two guns and shoot somebody in front of the feet. He will also dance, you know, like that. It's impulse. Nothing to do with myself or some pleasure. It's just you respond to impulse, you know, like when it's cold, you start to shake. It's the same thing. When you pinch somebody, he goes, ow. When you tickle somebody, he starts to laugh. That's material pleasure. That's all. Now, spiritual pleasure is something completely different. Spiritual pleasure comes even at the moment you don't expect that. You don't plan it. It doesn't make any sense. You are the whole day going around. People are practically spitting on you. You know? Yeah? You struggle to distribute a book about love of Godhead, which nobody wants. You know? And at the end, on the evening, you are ecstatic. And you don't know why. I don't know. I mean, all the Sankirtan devotees, they for sure have the experience. You cannot Sankirtan become so happy, you cannot go to sleep. I think, you know, there's few devotees here in the public who definitely already experienced it. We used to be in these marathon times so happy we couldn't go to sleep. We were just lying in a sleeping bag and, you know. A devotee in a car sleeping, you know, in the middle of the night, he woke up and he was in a sleeping bag sitting there going, and if you could give me a little bit more. In the sleep. Just tell him, come on, Prabhu, just go to sleep, you know. You know. Devotee used to just smile while sleeping. This can happen to you when you really dive into book distribution. You know. We drove it to the other extreme. You almost forget eating. You just, it's a disturbance, you know. So you're just packing books and eating. Don't do that. This is extreme and not very long term. But devotees go get this. It's just, you know, oh, there's another one. Oh, okay. It's not a very good way to accept prasadam like this, but you know, that can happen. So this is a pleasure derived from another source. And even very new devotee can experience that. Sometimes it's a big problem with new devotee preaching. He gets so ecstatic, he cannot stop. You know, so you have this classical scene, you know, where you have a kami standing in a corner going, yeah, yeah. And the devotee is just so fired up to preach, he goes, and you know, and Krishna consciousness, and wow, you know, there's Krishna and Rasa Leela, and then the kami is just, thank you, okay, thank you, bye-bye. You know, because he cannot stop, it's just so exciting. So even that has to be controlled, of course. But it can happen. So this is actually the level of, there you don't think about fearlessness. You don't even know what fear is in that moment. Because the bliss takes over. And such things are possible by the mercy of spiritual master being engaged under his instruction, being connected to Guru Parampara. Even a very simple devotee. Of course, then the next stage is we have to become steady. We cannot depend just on ecstasy. Because sometimes ecstasy is not coming. Sometimes we are simply on a line of duty. If ecstasy is not there, duty must be there. Duty is the basis. You know? Yeah. And that requires sincerity. And of course, knowledge. What is the duty? So we don't go out there to squeeze the ecstasy out. We go there because it's our duty. And if Krishna gives ecstasy, nice. If he doesn't, we keep on going. That's duty. Because what else shall I do? You know, just look around when you stand on the street. Well, just pick up an activity what you should do from anybody passing by there. You would like to do that. If you would still like to do that, well, then you are foolish. Because there is nothing, whatever they do is, what do they do? Running. Prabhupada made always in New York, you know, he make always these noises. This so it's simply driving back and forth using up petrol. That's what they do. Simply back and forth, shipping things of useless things, you know. Prabhupada had not one little positive remark about this. You know, once even Duttama Krishna Maharaj, he made a whole sink about New York. Then he amplified the whole thing more and more, and at the end his eyes opened, he was going. That's the atomic bomb, you know. That's the end of it. So we are not very optimistic about this. Sometimes they think, you know, they are not very optimistic. No, we are not very optimistic. Because, you know, because this is really not much future in this. To increase artificially the basic demands of eating, sleeping, mating and defending in such an absurd way. Like, there was one devotee in India, he just met him last year, he said, you know, I heard in the West they have even these machines, these bikes you jump on and it doesn't go anywhere. You know, you just run on stripes and, you know, because you sit the whole day in the office, so just to get some movement, you just... He couldn't believe it, how more artificial you can get. And I suddenly realized, my God, I almost got used to this, you know, to seeing these things. It really doesn't even appear as that absurd to me, but actually it is absurd. You have people the whole day sitting behind some table, just, you know, punching some keyboard. Prabhupada said, America is producing nothing. I just got it confirmed from an American. It's just producing papers. And if you push the papers around in the right way, make lots of money. Otherwise, nobody is producing anything. It's all imported from somewhere else or whatever. You know, Prabhupada is such a genius view that he said so many years ago. And today you can see it really. People just live in offices. They just push papers around. And when you do and sit in the right office and you push the right papers and you push the right thing on a keyboard, you make money. And then you go home and doing what? You see, nothing happened that day in your life. Nothing. You just push some papers around. Naturally, you are bored. You want to see something happening. You know? So what do? When you want to see something happening? You switch on the TV. And then you watch how they are doing that there. Because nothing is happening here. Everything is happening in TV. My life is empty, boring, nothing is happening. So I have to watch how they are doing it over there. It's pure voyeurism, you know. You can look out of the window like, oh, he goes to the toilet. Oh. So that's TV. And you have 60 channels to choose from. To watch how everything is happening everywhere, but nothing is happening here. How empty life can get. And then you go to sleep and you say, my God, nothing happened. Then you have to take some intoxication to really forget the whole thing, you know. And then you get intoxicated. Intoxication always means there's agitation on this side and reaction on the other. Some kind of reaction. So after the intoxication effect is over, it's much worse. Then again, the same system. In the office, punching the keyboard, in front of the TV, looking, oh. And in between, some actually primitive eating, primitive sleeping, primitive sex life, and very strange defense. You are completely living in an anonymity of a big city. Nobody knows you, you don't know nobody, you know, you just like that. This is the lifestyle Prabhupada totally rejected. He warned us, don't get into this. You know, Krishna consciousness is supreme personalism. And just from surrendering to Krishna, just from spreading Krishna consciousness, you can get so much actual enthusiasm that you don't need this stimulation from outside. You are stimulated enough. You know, if you ever saw a bunch of brahmacharis being together on Sankirtan really frustrated? I never saw this. They can become so outrageously happy. They are almost like a bunch of misbehave children. You know, they giggle and punch each other and do things, you know, with that. There was in Sweden one priest. He was traveling around making presentations how actually Hare Krishna movement is powered by intoxication. I don't know where he got it from. And the proof is that they are all happy. That realization he had. He made the analysis how they dance every morning around a certain plant which they later on smoke. He made it all sing like this. It was absurd. But the man was so poor-minded that he couldn't even imagine that you can be happy without intoxication. So when he saw happy devotees, of course, he concluded they must be all intoxicated. It's unavoidable. So this is, you know, this is practically spoken. But, you know, what is awaiting us if we actually dive into the bliss of Sankirtan. So there is, everything has a price. It's maybe in the beginning like a little bit bitter. There's a price to be paid. But as soon you overcome that border, and it's not very high. Like yesterday we were speaking here. He said, you find a company which they will give you an engagement with no qualification. Basic. Not much qualification. Then from that you get so much bliss. And just in the case you don't get a bliss, they will keep you anyway. You know, even you don't produce much, they will keep you anyway. They will give you to eat. They will keep you around, say, at least you can, maybe you, if you cannot do this, you do that. Find a company where they will do, like, if you cannot do this, then maybe you can do that. Or you cannot do that either. Or maybe you can do that. Just don't go away. You find a company like this. I don't think it exists in the material world, except maybe a nut house, you know, or prison, you know. But otherwise, let's say in the normal institutions, if you're not qualified, you are finished. If you're not productive, they will also kick you out, more or less. You have to show a certain, you know, qualification, certain efficiency. Here in Krishna consciousness, we start with no qualification and no efficiency. And even later on, we will see how far efficient and how qualified we are. That is still best disease. We have problems with that, you know. Still, nobody is really kicked out. This is the movement Prabhupada gave. Most all-embracing, most merciful movement. You know, and even devotees came to Prabhupada sometimes in a very informed state. You know, he fell down from the regulative principles and everything and came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I fell in love. Prabhupada said, fall in love, fall in lust. But he didn't, you know, he was very tolerant, but Prabhupada was tolerant, but he didn't accept that. He didn't make it like to a rule. No. But he was very tolerant. He had a wonderful way to deal with this. Like when Mataji came to Prabhupada, she said, Prabhupada, I want to get married. And she already had an agenda, you know, to whom. Prabhupada knew it immediately. So he just smiled. And he looked at the picture of Gopal over him. There was a picture of Gopal and he said, isn't Gopal nice? And when Prabhupada said that, you had to agree. Gopal is so nice. Prabhupada said, then why don't you marry him? And she was going, oh, that's a good idea. And then she walked out of the door and then the whole issue was over. Sometimes Prabhupada acted in a different way. That was very, you know, was such a wonderful way to actually come in contact with him. It was so beautiful because actually, you never knew what you get. You never knew what you get. Because Prabhupada was very personal, very individual. Some issues he solved simply by a smile. Some issues he solved by heavy preaching. Some issues he solved simply by logic and reason. And some issues he said, they are not to be solved. Hopeless. Let's forget it. And you thought, oh, that's wonderful. Then let's forget it. That's it. So life was very easy when Prabhupada was personally available like this in the platform. Very easy. But one thing you could be sure, if you go out and distribute some books, Prabhupada will be right away there. I was personally present in England. Last time when Prabhupada was present, I saw Prabhupada 3 times. Every time, I mean, first time he came to Germany, so I got initiated. But the second time, we just came Saturday night from Sankirtan to the temple, and the temple was empty. There was nobody there. And the last one who was running out was a pujari. He said, Prabhupada is in France. So we turned the car, we unloaded the last books, turned the car around and drove the whole night to France. Next morning we were there, you know, where Prabhupada was. The last time I saw Prabhupada, the same thing happened. Prabhupada is in England. That was really surprising because we knew Prabhupada is already in a very critical condition, fasting in Vrindavan. And suddenly he was in England. So we just jumped in a car and the whole night we drove through the night, you know. I remember first time in my life I drove from the left side in England, in London. I didn't care one thing. It didn't bother me at all. We just had to cross the whole London, you know, to the other side, to Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was driving Piccadilly Circus around and didn't bother me one thing, you know. Drove the whole night, the whole day. And we came to England, to Prabhupada. I was expecting that's the Prabhupada I know. You know, the dynamic Prabhupada preaching, life comes from life. The missing link is my boot in your face. You know. But the atmosphere was very different. It was very intense. Very quiet. We knew there's something else going on here. So I just sit down in the temple room in the middle of the day, just chanting my Gayatri, and our GBC suddenly appeared in the door. And he was pointing to me. Hey, come. So I was chanting my Gayatri. You know. He was going, so I just broke up the Gayatri and ran out of the temple room, and he was pushing me in front of me into Prabhupada's room, where Prabhupada was sitting there in a most ecstatic form, just going through one ecstasy to another. Very much different from what I expected to see. You know, his play of a Madhyam Adhikari going around preaching was over. He was just couldn't restrain his ecstasies anymore. And then there was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they presented Prabhupada the Daily Mail. At that time Prabhupada couldn't answer himself. He was just dictating a short comments on the different letters, and as they opened the envelopes, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj took down the notes, and he was actually answering the mail. So there was like one envelope was a big picture from Ratha Yatra in Los Angeles. Prabhupada said, I always wanted, even as a small boy, such a big Ratha, such a big, you know, car. And then there was one envelope they opened, and there was some book inside. I don't know, it was, some new teaching of Lord Chaitanya, something like that. New book publication. Prabhupada immediately broke into ecstasy. I was just sitting that close to him. Prabhupada took the book. You know, as soon as he saw the book, his hands were reaching out for it. And he took the book, and the first thing he did, amazingly, he was proving the binding. You know? And then he took the book on a lap, and he became so transcendentally proud, you know. He looked at us like, my book. It was very simple to see where Prabhupada's focus was. Anybody being part of book production and book distribution will get lots of blessings for this. Because that was where Prabhupada's heart really was. That doesn't mean we don't want to discriminate any other devotional service, but this is really where Prabhupada's heart was. You presented him anything published, even a language he couldn't understand. You know, he was very happy, immediately looking through this, you know. And he said, every time my book gets published, I feel like I conquered the whole universe. It's a fact, because that's what we have today. We don't have the possibility to see Prabhupada going through this kind of ecstasy personally, but we have his books. And without his books, who knows where we were already today. So much degradation can take place. You will have people coming even to Krishna consciousness who will present such a nonsense with such a self-confidence like Krishna consciousness. It's unbelievable. But here we have the reference. You go, oh, that's very nice what you are talking. Where is this in Prabhupada's books, please? Show me. How does it relate to that? And they will tell you, well, you know, here, you know, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna speaks, so that's actually like me, you know, that's actually me. You go, oh, really? Oh, that's no problem. Then can you show me the universal form, please, here? You know, it's just chapter 11. Please. You know, you are not qualified yet to see the universal form. It doesn't matter, then make me qualified, please. You know. Then just please get out of here. You know. So, with Prabhupada's books, nobody can defeat you. Nobody can match this. And this is the biggest protection and the biggest blessings we can get being part of book production and book distribution. So, since we are today quite late, I don't want to prolong it even more late. I would like to just bring it to this conclusion. There's some questions or points, comments, please, still. Mm-hmm. Your mic here? We have mic? No mic? No. Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello. I was just wondering, what is the mentality of a person who wants to go on with book distribution all life? I mean, to find the proper balance between being too much like enthusiastic, but at the same time have the vision to continue all your life. What is the mentality?
Well, there was this word vision mentioned. And that vision we should never lose. We should never lose the vision. We should never lose the connection and the enthusiasm. Then, of course, walking through one's lifetime, a devotee would encounter different situations. I guess most sincere devotees want to do one thing. They just want to preach and go back home, back to Godhead, finished. Essentially spoken, that's called sannyas. That's actually the meaning of sannyas, preaching. Prabhupada said, if there is no preaching, there is no need of sannyas. What's the use of this? Sannyas is meant for preaching. So that's nice. Wonderful idea. But we will encounter one thing there which will make us a little bit struggle. That life is not about just what we want, but what we have to do. Like you think, I like eating, I don't like to go to the toilet. Well, it doesn't matter. If you see somebody eating, for sure he will go to the toilet. Not a nice place to be. You know. But this is almost, I mean, it's sure. Asthma is sure as death. Because when you see somebody alive in the material world, you can be sure he will also die. Also not very nice. So there are many things in our lives we will have to do, maybe, which we don't want to do. Usually devotees are hesitant. They are actually hesitant towards, especially if you are like trained up brahmachari or brahmacharini, then usually you are quite hesitant to marriage. Because with any little half a brain, you know, this will be complicated. Who wants to complicate his life? If you say, would you like to complicate your life? A lot? How much? Everybody will say, no, I don't want to complicate my life. I want to be simple and happy. And obviously preaching is providing that. That doesn't mean we don't have to do these things. So we have to be also properly situated. Which may be taking energy from us, from our original idea to go the whole life on Sankirtan distributing books. It's a fact that going on Sankirtan will not make you younger. You can still remain quite young. Actually, it's a very good way to stay at least mentally quite young. I was distributing some years ago, not so long time ago, in Sweden, in one marathon, with young, you know, devotees. And usually I go on Sankirtan quite often to young people. So, you know, and in Sweden it was like young people have usually quite money. So, you know, and usually you go like the whole group, when the school is over, they come, you know, out, and then you go to the whole group and you distribute the books. Like you can distribute sometimes 3, 4, 5 books at once like this, you know. So it was just a bunch of girls and I just went there, you know, and actually I don't know anything. I say the same thing I said, you know, when I was in Sankirtan 30 years ago. Actually, I do exactly the same. So I just went there, hello, you know, take one of these, and they were all, you know. And then actually they took some books. And then he went around the corner, there was another devotee distributing. And he kind of out of reflex offered them also a book, and they were all waving with the books, and they were going, oh, we got the books already from the boy around the corner. So he came looking around the corner, where is the boy? What boy here? And I was standing there, what's going on? And he said, you know, there was some boy here distributing books. They said they got books from some boy. He said, well, that was me, you see? I'm getting younger. So, you know, at least you don't have to grow old in Krishna consciousness. You know, like an old cheese, very mature. It's a mature cheese. It's almost liquid. You know, very serious. It's my personal horror. I don't want to become old in Krishna consciousness. Like a mummified, you know. You open a cupboard and there's an old devotee inside. Dusty, full of spinwebs. And he goes, it's not so easy. It's not easy. Any young bhakta can be horrified, you know, he's going, ah! Then they ask the same question, will I also become like that? After 30 years in Krishna consciousness? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. It's not needed. Just stay in preaching, or in the preaching enthusiasm, and you will not get that old. But the body will. So you can also go, you know, the body will. It will make noise. It is, you know, it got a little, it's a machine, you know. And certainly, Sankirtan, you will use up the machine a little bit. It's unavoidable. So we used to, like in Germany, especially in the times of legal troubles, we had to walk on the streets very fast, you know, to avoid the police and everything. Actually, I'm so ruined from that. Until today, I cannot stand in one spot or something like this, you know. When I go out, I just go, I start to go around the town and, you know. But when you are 18, it's more fun. But when you are a little bit older, then, you know, you go, Sankirtan Kisha! You know, naturally. Your body doesn't get younger. So, therefore, it's such a bliss to see younger devotees. Because the older ones, they should assist the younger ones. You know, in action and also with a little bit with experience, because they got, you know, they made the same mistakes and everything. So why should they, the others, do the same mistakes? That's how it works. In the Vedic society, this was absolutely established. The younger Yadus and the older Yadus. And the younger Yadus, I mean, they were all Kshatriyas, you know. So they were all just, let's go over there and give them hard time and, you know, let's do it. And the old ones were going, that's a good idea, but we have to see how to do it. So we don't get, you know, some reactions for that. You know, this is more wisdom. So whatever, so the lifelong plans for book distributions are wonderful. The question is how to do it. That's an individual thing. You have to see. The idea is very good. We should never give it up. Sometimes devotees, you know, like, let's get practical. Brahmacharis get married or something, they lose hope. They think, what's the use of me? Nobody comes here. Nobody asks about my past. Nobody knows how many books I distributed. You know, actually I cannot do this anymore. Now I have 2 children or 3 children. I have a wife. Well, she's not so nice all the time, really. You know. Yes, it was blissful on Sankirtan, but that's all over. You know. And actually, this is not true. You know, you think sometimes you forget Sankirtan. You never will. You think sometimes you cannot distribute books anymore. Don't worry. Try it out. It's amazing. Like I was in Poland last year, traveling around. And many devotees are getting into this, you know. Getting married and they have a whole invasion of the small babies. And I was, wee, wee, wee. And they are all sitting there like, excuse me, you know. Did happen, you know. What can I do? And they are just kind of like, you know, losing the faith. And not losing the faith, but seeing how can I do Sankirtan like this? You know, wah, 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 wah. Oh yeah, there are ways to do Sankirtan like this. There are ways. Like example, I noticed in Poland, it's a habit, you know, that every weekend you have a groups of men standing around in the villages and everywhere, and they talk to each other. You know. It's like a weekend rasa, you know. The men stand on a corner and, you know. So I was thinking, you know, why not just make a parties, weekend parties, you know, where the man, the woman takes care of the child, the man goes out, old Sankirtan hero, and the men get together, one has a car, they jumped in a car and go out and distribute, get some fresh air. And also you can share the household misery in between, you know. Like, you know, my wife, you know what she told me? I'm an idiot. That's too much. You know. And the next weekend, the women can do the same. Many of them, older Sankirtan Matajis. So the man takes care of the baby, the women go out. And they, maybe they even work during the week, you know, have a job or whatever. But they can thrive. Just go out. And then the women can come together and share the household misery. You know. You know, my husband, he's just, you know. And then, you know, oh, that's nothing. My husband, he's lazy bum. You know, it's like, you know, you can get some relief because misery likes company. And, you know, in the meanwhile, you distribute some books and get some bliss, finally. Like in the marathon times, they actually do that and they experience it's the same thing. You know, if you don't distribute books even 5 years and you go out, it's like you just stopped yesterday. Many devotees have this realization. It's amazing. They are still taking it. I got paranoid when I was temple president because I was thinking, now I have to sit in an office here, you know, and I'm not on the street, so I will forget the whole book distribution. Nobody will take book anymore. So I was so paranoid. I had a little stable of books next to me. When I had this feeling like, no Sankirtan. Then I just grabbed some books, ran down the stairs. Usually the temples were in a very populated areas. Like in Berlin. Berlin is a city you can distribute midnight. There's always traffic somewhere. The town never goes to sleep. So I just ran out on the street and distribute 2-3 books. I'm going, ah! And I was going up in the office again. You know, singing, it still works. You know, so one should never give up the hope. One should, whatever, especially those they receive that mercy, they are trained up Sankirtan devotees. They should never give up that hope. Either they should try themselves as much as possible, still be actively part, or they should support that process. Help the new brahmacharis, help the new devotees. there are yatras, you know, and paths in Europe, there's practically no temple. Very few temples. Functionable. And still there's brahmachari devotees walking around, want to distribute. They practically create like their own, you know, little world where they live in. It's very different from the times I, you know, went on Sankirtan, because I came back and we were just 100 brahmacharis in a kirtan every Saturday night. You know? So, but these devotees sometimes they just go, you know, like, oh yeah, we are just 3 brahmacharis here in the middle of Europe, you know, okay. You know, they need support. And it's completely shastrically backed up that the brahmacharis and sannyasis are like the children of the society. They should be supported. So if a grihastha is out there, he wants to be part of Sankirtan, he should help such a brahmachari. We were once making a joke. We have programs, adopt a cow, or, you know, this, why not adopt a brahmachari? You know, some namahati goes, I like this brahmachari. Well, then support him. Even when he is in a temple. Go to the temple management and say, how much does it cost a brahmachari a month? They will give you a calculation. And then just say, this is my brahmachari. I adopted him, I subsidized 1 brahmachari here. And you take care of him and you make sure he can go on Sankirtan and distribute books. That's your books also. You will be also part of Sankirtan like this. You know? So there are so many ways to stay in tune with the preaching mission, to stay in tune with book distribution. Don't become an old, mature, cheese-like Vaishnava. You know? Something else? Mic. When is officially prasaram? Because I don't want to stop anybody from the 2 o'clock? Huh? 2:30.
Hare Krishna. How we can find out that Krishna is satisfied with our book distribution?
Krishna is satisfied not just by what we give, but Krishna is satisfied, he knows what we don't give. So when we start to give that, what we normally wouldn't give, then Krishna is specially satisfied. That's individual. Some devotee has lots of things to give externally. That's nice. But some devotee doesn't have so much to give externally. But he gives everything he can. So that surrender is individual. And the first symptom, of course, of a full surrender is they become ecstatic. Even you don't plan for it, you don't want it, you become ecstatic. But of course, we have other references also. After all, we are supposed to have spiritual master. And he will decide. Like one girl wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm always sick, I'm falling down. Prabhupada said, what has this to do with that? We are just sick, that's all. I'm not falling down. So, that was clarified, the issue. Some devotee may jump in ecstasy going, I'm ecstatic. Spiritual master said, will say, you are not ecstatic, you are passionate. There's a big difference. And the proof you will find when the passion is over, then you become very, very depressed. Some people will say, some devotee will say, I'm quite brahminical by nature, I'm very peaceful. The spiritual master will say, no, you are lazy. You are ignorant. So this is, therefore we need reference, of course. There's Shastra, Guru, Sadhu. And then there's other devotees, they will tell us too. So, you know, I grew up, of course, in Sankirtan, heavily pushed by quotas. It did help me in the beginning very much. Like first 2 years, I distributed only LPs. I mean, you know, like, there was no books. I mean, there were some books, but nobody dared to distribute them. So we were just doing this LP business. And there, money was very important. So those days, I was collecting every day. Like, I came up to 500 Deutschmarks. This was like, you know, a day. One bill. I changed it every day in the evening in some bar into one bill. And I said, I will not go down from the street until I have that bill. I remember even one day I was so desperate. Instead of 500, I had 450. And it was late. It was dark. Nobody on the street anymore. So I was saying, oh no, what I will do? I was saying, okay, be detached, surrender, that's what Krishna gave. Then I went into the bar, into some bar there, to change money, this, all this small money into a bigger money. And the man on the bar goes, yes, I can change that, I like small money. Then he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, thank you very much. And I had 500 Deutschmarks. I look at him like, are you sure? He was completely blissful. He said, of course. And then I walked out. I was saying, wow, that's really far out. So then the Prabhupada said, this is absolute nonsense. Stop it immediately. So from one day to another, our GBC took it very seriously those days. And even we had quite some substantial LP storage still. He stopped the whole thing. Put us in a, we carried from a cellar all the packages with the small books, was the small books. And he bought, he printed some kind of package, you know, with a cut up window in it, which you could fold together, and these three books became one book, like a box. And it was called the Yoga Library. So actually, there were three small books inside in such a box. And that was our first books to distribute. Nobody did it before. We didn't know what to do. We saw this not possible. Germans, they are too heavy. You cannot distribute books to them. And then we had our mantra for LPs. Hello, do you know George Harrison? You know, from the Beatles. He was very popular those days. People going, yeah. He produced this LP for us. Even, you know, it was not exactly true. He produced another LP, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Sometimes people came back, you know. There was one Mataji. People came back and said, there's no George Harrison on this LP. It was just a Hare Krishna Kirtan, you know. So what is George Harrison doing on this LP? She smiled sweetly and she was going, the hole in the middle. George Harrison is the whole day making holes, you know, into the LPs. People like that. They were always laughing. Whoa, the hole in the middle. So, you know, so anyway, then that stopped. And the next day we were out with books. We had no idea. And we didn't know what to say. So I tried immediately to run to a gas station. We just fill up the car and I went to the man in the gas station. I was going, I didn't know what to say. So I just said, do you know George Harrison? And he was going, yes. And he said, well, he's also reading books. And then you gave him a book. Actually, he took it. And we distributed exactly the same amount of books like LPs before. And we were completely ecstatic when we came back. Why? Because Prabhupada wanted that. So as long as we keep this intact, then there should be success. Because Krishna will give. What was the question again? I want to sum it up. Right. By following the instruction of spiritual master. That's our reference. Then gradually also, if Krishna is satisfied, we become less attracted to external things. They don't mean anything to you anymore. Sankirtan devotees also can have some experience of that. People ask sometimes, who forbade you to do this and this and this? You know, like meaning the four regulative principles. They ask you, who forbids you this? Well, ultimately nobody. We can do what we want, you know. If tonight somebody decides to go somewhere in Navadvip and get drunk, who can stop him? You know, no problem. They cannot imagine. We don't want that. This is an amazing realization. Sometimes they go, oh, you don't want that? Why don't you want that? Then you can start to preach. Because they cannot imagine not to want these things. But Krishna's satisfaction will be revealed when you experience that you don't want that anymore. It means nothing to you. Sometimes Maya rings the bell and you think, I should want that. I did this before. I liked it so much. Sometimes even devotees go out of Krishna consciousness to find out if they still like it. You know. And sometimes, especially on Sankirtan, when you go, they are so purified, they find out, I cannot like it. I don't like it anymore. I try really hard to like it. And I have no taste for this anymore. Where is the taste? Then they go back to Krishna consciousness again. Most of the devotees actually who go on Sankirtan and who become purified, they are cursed. You cannot go out there and become a kami. They try sometimes, but it doesn't really work. I met devotees in such a shapes, you know, after some years. Still, when you look at them, I always tell the same story. I said this story many times. I was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago I was in Vrindavan, in this MVT restaurant there, sitting there, you know, next to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I was just eating there, taking prasadam. And suddenly I hear this deep voice. Hare Bol Manidara. Really deep voice. Typical German deep voice. So I looked up and there was an older man, little beard. And I looked at him. He looked at me and he said, you don't remember me, isn't it? I said, no. And then he said, I remember you. I was with you my last day on Sankirtan. You remember that marathon we did there? And then he started to describe the story, you know. And this is a story which I have said so many times. But this is just to illustrate how addictive Sankirtan can be. He told me, you know, remember that? We were sitting, parking in the morning in a car in the town there. Early morning on marathon. And we were reading how all the mundane literature is just for crows. And I said, I don't know. And he said, and then you jumped out of the car and you went through a small park to the shopping street. And while crossing that park, there was a man sitting on a bench. And then I start to remember this. Oh my God. And that man on a bench, he was sitting there reading a newspaper. you know, lonely man on a bench, big newspaper. And I remembered, my God, I was so fired up from the lecture. I realized I have in a pocket a fire lighter. So remembering that mundane literature is simply for crows, so the man was sitting there. I hold the fire lighter below the newspaper. It was burning really good. It was going. And the man reading a newspaper, he couldn't see me. He was just, and he threw this newspaper away. And I was standing there, you know, hello, take one of these. And somehow or other, the man was so shocked, he didn't connect me with the burning newspaper whatsoever. He probably saw this was some self-igniting newspaper, I don't know what. And he took the book. You know, and then just proceed to the shopping street. But I didn't know that there was this four bhaktas sitting in a car, just finishing the prasadam. They were just saying, that's how you distribute books, that's what. You just burn down people's newspapers. Of course, until today, I don't know why I did this. But that devotee was there, and he remembered that. There's like 20 years in between, 25 years in between, you know. Then he was going, Sankirtan ki jai. He was obviously for many years not on Sankirtan, but, you know, he never forgot. Never forgot. There are many stories like that. Krishna is teaching you things on Sankirtan. There's another story which fortunately nobody remembers. You know, the same situation in the morning. It was also one of these marathon times. Was a car parked in a big parking lot, which was empty. And I knew this is a good town for marathon. This is really good here. And we have to start distribution. Kijai. And I had some bhaktas in a car, new devotees. So they just, you know, they were just new devotees. Before they go on a street, they always want to eat. And they eat long time. Because like it's the last meal before the execution, you know. You know. They prolong the eating process. Last pleasure, you know. Before the real pain starts. It's always fun to watch this, you know. They just go, no, Prabhu, please, you know, one apple more, you know. You know. So I was saying, I have to give an example, you know. Even there was nobody there on the street. So I jumped off the car and I packed my box and, you know, and with my bag. And Sankirtan ki jai! And I just ran out, but there was nobody there. In the same moment at the end of the parking lot, way back, it was a parking lot, let's say, six times as big as this. Big sink, you know. So then at the end, appeared a girl. Young girl. Now by that time I was a brahmachari. I didn't care. Just Sankirtan ki jai. And I start to run across the parking lot to her with the book. You know. Hello. But to my amazement, with I don't know why, she started to run too. Towards me. So I was like, yeah, hello, hello. And we met exactly in the middle of the parking lot. And she embraced me and gave me a kiss. And I was standing there with a book with a girl around the neck. And I just looked backwards to the Sankirtan van. And there was this four brahmachari sitting there just there. That's how he distributes the box, you know. It's unbelievable. So I kind of got rid of the girl and And she didn't took the book anyway, you know, and then she just went off and I was saying, oh my God. Then I went around the corner, I just started to laugh because I was saying, that's how Krishna is teaching you, curing you from the German pathetic heroic spirit, you know. You know, you just go, oh, and you get a girl around the neck, you know, really. There's one problem with all the religions in the whole world. They don't believe God has a humor. And I tell you, Krishna can make a joke. And when he makes a joke, the joke always means something. When Krishna makes a joke, it's such a far out joke that the sages are discussing for thousands of years what kind of a joke that was. It's multidimensional and it's so much teachings in it and, you know. But God can definitely make a joke. Most of the religions are missing this fact. So if Krishna wants to make a joke with you on Sankirtan, he will do that. And there are much worse stories, much worse. You know, it's just really, Sankirtan, it's such a wonderful educational program you have there. Once I was exactly opposite, spaced out, tired, you know, standing on a corner of the street, just. And then I saw it was a small dog. It was a very fancy shopping street. It got trees on the sides planted. And small dog, this size, came from nowhere. When I was standing there, I look at the dog, he came to me, lifted up the leg and urinated on me. And he left. I was thinking, there's a whole shopping street of trees and this guy comes to me. Me, the great Sankirtan devotee. Krishna showed me so much for your greatness. Even dogs will urinate on you. So this is, you know, this is how you get your false ego treated. Another time I was standing on a corner, same shape, spaced out. And then came one of this is a part of Germany called Bavaria. The people look like bulls, you know. They have such a neck and they have hands like shovels, you know. Like, you know. And I was just standing there coming to this place. And there was one of these guys coming from behind. And he banged me on the shoulder and said, keep on going! And then he just left, you know. I was going, what does he know about this here? You know. But then I heard, actually he's right, yeah, keep on going. Yeah. So I started to distribute again. Krishna can do all kinds of things. That part of Germany actually I liked very much because people are very simple and, you know, but don't make the wrong jokes. Then they get very angry. It was, I experienced once a soul liberation. I can tell you, I told a story to that too. There's a man sitting in a car in front of the shopping center, you know, and he was like, okay, yeah, you know, oh, I just knocked on the window, gave him a book, and he was going, okay. The same moment, his wife appeared at the entrance of the shopping center going towards the car. I was going, uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. Usually the wives are just, you know, not very positive. They missed the control for a few minutes. So anyway, so he was like, he didn't know that. So I speeded up my mantra. And you can give a little bit, you know, a little bit. You know. And he was so slow, the man, you know. He was like, oh, no. Then she came to the car. And obviously it was immediately visible who is in control. She just opened the doors of the car, threw the goods in, she bought the shopping bags, you know, got in a car next to him and said, let's go. And the man was there with a book like, hey, there's a nice book, you know. And she was going, let's go. And he was going, buy the book. And she was going, just give it back. Let's go. And I was already ready to take the book back, but then suddenly amazing happened. The man said, I like the book. And she said, so what? Give it back. Let's go. He was going, but I want the book. And then suddenly the super soul in her heart did some heavy switch. I could see probably first time in his lifetime. He said, I want the book. And she said, don't be ridiculous. It's garbage. Give it back. You know? He said, I want to keep that book. And she was going, let's go, damn it. And suddenly he just turned around, grabbed her on the neck, and was going, I want the book. And she turned completely white and she was going, yes, my dear, yes, my dear. Then he let her go and said, how much does it cost? He was going, oh, just a little donation, you know. So he paid for it and he threw the book back and was going, we go now. That was first time in his lifetime he got the courage to oppose. By the mercy of the super soul. So this is like, anyway, there are so many stories. I don't want to take prasaram from anybody away. So. One question more? No, it's okay. Yeah, there's a mic there. There's a mic.
Sometimes we see like passionate, you know, you get fired up about book distribution, you're like super passionate and you just continue being passionate and going out like too many hours and like losing sadhana and all these type of things. And people tell, you know, be careful, you know, you have to be, you know, maybe you should slow down and all these things. And so on one side, one can say that, you know, okay, you know, this is, you know, sadhana is going to hold the person together or whatever, and they should maybe take a break, or they say, well, maybe we should go to the beach and go swimming or something. The other person, no, fire up book distribution. And then, you know, on the other side, don't mean to slow down so you can translate?
It's okay.
Okay, and then on the other side, How can you stop someone from going out who's so fired up?
The point is, usually this passion relates very much to the younger devotees. Prabhupada always encouraged maximum book distribution. But you will not be able to do that and you will find it out yourself without a proper basis. But Prabhupada gave the basis. Like, one should not go out without chanting 16 rounds. You know, why should one do that? It's not needed. You follow the program and go out. Especially on Sankirtan, on traveling Sankirtan, you can regulate this very nicely. But that regulation is very important. Be steady, have a steady base of going out. We are not on the Raganuga Bhakti, you know. Spontaneous devotion, maybe some of us are, I am not. So, the only thing I can recommend is just to keep your life steady. And there will be enough time for distribution. Actually, book distribution is not even that much depending on the amount of time being spent out there, but on a concentration. You see, what's the use to run around hours and hours completely spaced out? You know, so prepare yourself, change your rounds, read your time, go out. But then when you go out, then that's it. Then nothing else. Not like, oh, shall I go out now? Or shall I go back and read a little bit more? Or, oh, yeah, maybe I should chant a little bit more. No, you do your thing and go out. And no doubt. Because the most important principle is to get down from that mental platform. But this is taught usually quite, this is a quite basic thing. A very new bhakta should actually learn these kind of things. Devotion, you know, book distribution is after all also a devotional service, like any other service in that regard. So you don't have a pujari running out on an altar going, oh, I feel like I should make one artic more, it's great here, wow, oh, oh, boy, you know. Oh, let's offer 5 gilams in a row, that's great. I love it. That's, you know, that's a spontaneous thing which Prabhupada didn't introduce. Prabhupada introduced us to regulations. But there is still enough space to go crazy on Sankirtan, don't worry. And it's a fact, instead of sitting 6 hours in a van, reading a book and falling asleep, better you go out and work hard. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Maitre Prabhu, thank you for nice class. Can you tell us one more story how you was protected with Lord Shinkadev? I hear one story long time ago. You was in some German town and you was protected by Lord Shinkadev. Some crazy man was running after you.
I told the story yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was not there, sorry.
Sorry. I can tell you this privately again. Okay. Yeah.
Brigapati Prabhu told me this once, that he said that Prabhupada said something of this nature. He used to read many, many books, that's very good, but that's not wonderful. He says if you get a whole bunch of people to distribute Prabhupada's books, then that's wonderful. So my question is how, what's the best way to become wonderful?
This depends on a phase and an age of a Sankirtan devotee. I would almost say, predict that every Sankirtan devotee comes to the point where plainly physically spoken, running around all the time, it becomes more difficult for him. There are a few devotees who definitely have, like, I could give you an example of a German Sankirtan leader. That's a devotee who was sitting as a bhakta in my Sankirtan man, and he is still running around like anything. He has such a stamina, if he goes out, he eats 5 pizzas and goes out. That's it. Bong. I can just look at it and going, wow. You know, I couldn't do that. So naturally, there is a time in life of every Sankirtan devotee where he will develop a desire to help, stronger desire to help others, and in this way he can keep on distributing books and being part of it. So it's individual. I had a very hard time with this because I was trained to go out and do it. I was number one for 5 years in Germany, and then I was not number one anymore, and then I was more sick and I couldn't do there. I was growing desperate. I was saying, what is it? I'm falling in Maya. My results goes down, I'm falling in Maya. Fortunately, I had the Godbrothers around me who gave me a very, very valuable help. Who showed me that you have to keep on preaching by any means. You have to be part of Sankirtan by any means. You have to help other Sankirtan devotees, and that will be your books you will distribute. And you can still go out and do something, but focus more on that. Did the focus change then? I completely focused on new devotees to help them to go out. Fortunately, around that time, we had a quite big bhakta program in Germany. You know, so it was easy. I had sometimes 10 bhaktas with me on a street. So I completely tuned into that. So this is individual. The major thing is we should never lose the touch on this. And new devotees, usually they are very happy when they see an older devotee coming around and just giving them support. They don't need a megastar. You know, I was growing up in the age of megastars. We had Sankirtan devotees doing 900 book in one day. You know. In not the Indian way, but you know, the Western way, running on the street. You know, incredible results. So of course then you start to feel like, phew, what can I do? But nowadays we don't even have even much of that. We have just lots of more devotees now who actually want to do something, but they are not such a megastars. But if everybody does more and more and together, and more devotees and more book distributors, then all together it's going to be big. Prabhupada wanted, you know, those days, I don't want to now really go into names much, but he wanted all the older Sankirtan devotees to go out and become, you know, training the younger ones. We have here one example from Russia, Achala Prabhu. Is like, huh? Haribol. He's doing traveling around. Now he got really involved with management, but you know, otherwise he's just keeping up the whole Russian thing going. Traveling around. Devotees need that. It's wonderful. Okay. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.